Blog Talk Radio. Trying to keep them quiet. Hope everybody's doing well on this first day of the week. All is well here. I have a lot of things to talk about today. Basically, I got emails from different people that want me to provide different things for the Nation of Yehuda, and I'm going to do my best to try to do that. So I just wanted to, you know, someone sent me an email and they wanted me to put together some short videos about everything, the High Holy Days, the commandments, the statues, the dress wear, everything that we do so that people can get a clear understanding. I think after yesterday's class, and maybe I'm wrong, but after yesterday's class, it kind of brought some clarity to the motives of some people when they branch out on their own. And I know it did for me. You know, it kind of brought some things back to home, you know, because you have people who, a lot of people take a hold of this thing and they start running with it. And it's like, you know, you have to really be careful because it is never my intention to lead anyone astray. I'll shut this whole thing down and won't do anything else before I do that. I think that it's important for us to stay in the presence of the Most High, to stay in prayer, to stay in His Word, and to be able to read His Word. And that's why I stay in that Bible. I mean, I know there's other books that you can read outside of it, but I don't want to give anybody an excuse and say, well, this is why you all are the way you are. Because, no, everything we can validate everything in them scriptures like they're supposed to be validated. Now, I don't knock anybody else for reading other books, other manuscripts, or whatever it is that you're reading, and to give you some clarity. But the Most High has made sure that everything we need is in that actual Bible. So I think it's very important that we do that because, you know, after reading about Jeroboam yesterday, it kind of brought some things home. I know it did for me because it was just way too much going on that he was doing. So, you know, I just want to let you guys know that I am definitely going to put some things together. and especially the whole female to women thing. Because I've noticed now, and I don't know if you guys have been paying attention, but I noticed now with some of the groups, they have the women out there on the corners too with them now. And the women are actually talking to the women, you know, which I think is an excellent idea. You know, I've seen a couple of, well, one group in particular where the women were actually out there. So, you know, and they were standing out there with the men and, you know, talking to the women. You know, it was pretty good. I was like, well. So, you know, we definitely have to get people included. We have to get people included, you know, in what we're doing. You know, but we have to really be careful, too, you know, with how we address issues in our communities, you know, because the biggest thing that I think has me a little discombobulated is the negative approach, you know, that they give when they're out there, you know. But again, I'm not here to police anybody's behavior. I'm not here to tell anybody what they're doing right or wrong. We have to make sure what we're doing is correct, because after reading about the story of Jeroboam yesterday, the Most High will take care of his own. He will. He will address you in the way that he needs you to be addressed to stop you from doing anything that will cause Israel harm. So I just want to say that. If anybody has, somebody tell me about the class yesterday. How did you like the class? What did you get from it? you know, if you can share that, that would be great. You know, somebody please feel free to push one, you know, so we can discuss it. If you guys want to. Or any topic. I mean, because there's so much stuff going on everywhere. I like to change it up, though, and not talk about current events, because we do that on the Sabbath sometimes, depending on what's going on. You know, but just to talk about issues, something else. Area code 504, your mic is open, you're on the air.
Yes, the class was very informative, and what I got out of it was when you broke down how the Most High worked, where he gave his people his rules, laws, statutes, and everything, and how they were blessed, Jeroboam or whoever, and then they turned against him. And I see that, you know, taking place right now, you know, among the people. He let us serve our 400 years, and our people, a lot of them, not all, are still turning our backs on him and doing what we want to do and, you know, not being thankful that you brought us out of this. We are seeing the destruction, you know, among the nations that, you know, oppressed his people. And instead of a lot of us being thankful, we are still turning our backs and doing what we want to do, worship the gods we want to worship, and just not obeying or, you know, acknowledging, you know, being thankful.
Well, yeah, that's true. Now, would that apply to the Israelite, or would you say that would apply to the people that are in the church?
I would say that's applying mostly to the Israelites, because his people are supposed to be the ones that set the example. And so the people that are in the church, a lot of them don't know that they may be worshiping, you know, not, you know, the wrong God or whatever, or the things that they're doing is going against the God. So he has to bring his people out of the churches first. Let us be the ones that set the example so that we could teach the other ones. But if we out there doing the same thing that they're doing, they're not going to listen, you know, to God's people.
That's very true. That's very true. So let me ask you this question, then I'll let you go. Give me an example of one example where you feel like that the Israelites haven't met up to the standard that you think they should, from what you have observed.
Okay. I'm thinking mostly dress, the dress code for the Hebrew Israelites, because I think a lot of the Hebrew, the one women that say we are Hebrew Israelites, they don't know how to dress. They don't know what is the appropriate way that the Hebrew Israelite woman should dress. So a lot of us are still dressing like the world, where if you look at a regular woman in the world and a Hebrew Israelite, you cannot distinguish the difference if they are doing, you know, dressing and just carrying themselves in that same manner. That's what I observe. You know, I don't know, it may be other areas too.
Okay, so you say the dress code for the women. Do you think that we should wear ceremonial clothes all the time, or do you think we should wear, I'm just trying to figure out, because there's a lot of women that are listening, and I just want to, you know, figure out where you think they've dropped the ball. And like, is it, do you think that we should wear them all the time, or is it the skirts and the dresses are too short and the pants are too tight? What do you mean?
Okay, I think that the dresses may be too tight. I think that when you, even if it's a loose-fitting dress, if you sit down and half of your thigh is hanging out, to me, you know, that's not modest. Now, when I was coming up, if your skirts were short and you were in a church or wherever, they gave you a scarf to cover over your legs so your thighs and all wouldn't be exposed. I don't see that going on anymore among, you know, women in general. And if, as far as the skirts being short, we used to have to kneel on the floor. And if your skirt did not touch the floor, then that's a sign that it's too short. Now, I don't know if, you know, the skirts the younger girls, maybe 18 and younger, they may not want to wear skirts down to the ankles or whatever. I don't know, maybe just to the knee, you know, or midway to knee. And the older women, maybe a little longer. I don't know. You know, I don't know. To me, that would be more modest. It doesn't have to be skin tight, showing every curve of your body. The cleavage, you don't need to, you're not advertising anything. So I think, you know, that part should be kind of covered up. You don't have to have the cleavage. And the pants, I grew up where they had culottes, which was a loose-fitting pants. It was half skirt, half pants. I like those better than the tight-fitting pants that's showing all your curves and what have you. So I just think there should be some kind of guideline that you could wear maybe the pants in your house or whatever, or your shorts in your house. But when you go out in public, if you're a married woman, you wear that maybe around your husband. Nobody has to see you. I don't know. But I think when you're out in the public, you know, you don't need to expose all that. You know, women in their 40s and 50s wearing shorts look like underwear. You know, I mean, you don't need to be out there like that. You don't need the cleavage. You don't need the super tight clothes. You know, to me, that's just my opinion. I think God's people need to be a little more modest and not look like the rest of the world. You know, we don't need to wear that.
So how do you feel about ceremonial clothes, like the clothes that you've seen some of the other women wear in the different groups?
You mean like the long
yes.
Hebrew-like dresses, and they have the head wraps on?
Yes.
If that's what we're supposed to wear, you know, I don't know. That's why, you know, I'm still searching, because I don't have anything against that. The head being covered up. Now, from what I studied, God said that the woman was to cover her head if she was, like, in the church or something. And when you went down in prayer, your head was to be covered when you went down in prayer. And if you were a prophetess, that you were to cover your head when you prophesied. I don't know if women are supposed to wear it every day, 24 hours a day, the head cover. I never read that.
Okay. Well, that's fair. I mean, I appreciate your comment, and it's very important. Anybody else want to respond or come in on this conversation? I have a couple of things I'll say to that. This has been an issue for a long time since I came into this walk, you know, because of me being raised up in a holiness church. I was raised in a holiness church. So there was no pants. There was no jewelry. There was no makeup. Our skirts had to be below our knees, no matter how old you were. You weren't supposed to wear, you know, like you said, everything was covered up. We couldn't wear sandals with the toes out, the heels out. We had to wear stockings all the time. There was not a moment where your bare legs were showing. This is what the women were told to do when we were coming up. And you know, it went okay for a while. And the only problem with it was because you had younger women, and we were younger women, it was a problem for us because we were looking like old ladies. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you, from my experience. Now, when I came over here, you know, and I looked at the culture and the culture that they are creating, because nobody knows for sure what we wore. When you go to the book of Ezekiel, and I think it's 16, Ezekiel chapter 16, it talks about the things that the Most High had given us as a people, and what we threw away. And it talked about he gave us the nose ring and the, let me see, I'm going to try to find it real quick. I think if we can start it at verse number 10. This is Ezekiel 16. It says, I clothe thee also with rotted work and shroud thee with badger skin. And I gird thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. So we had linen, fine linen. We wore silk. We had embroidered clothing. You know, we had badger skin, whatever that was. I'm not quite sure. It's an animal skin. He said, I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain on thy neck. So we had ornaments. We had bracelets. This is the Most High talking to us as a people. He said, and I put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thy ear and a beautiful crown upon thy head. So jewelry was something that we did do. He said, thus was thou decked with gold and silver. Thy raiments was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. And thou did eat fine flour and honey and oil. And thou was exceeding beautiful. And thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathens for thy beauty. For it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Most High Elohim. So we wore the best of linens. We ate the best of foods. We had the best of jewelry. Let me see what else he said. And thou didst trust in thy own beauty and played the harlot. Now this is what we did wrong. Because of thy renown and poureth out thy fornication on everyone that passed by, he as it was. He said, you just gave it away. Of thy garments thou didst take and decked thy high places with divers colors and played the harlot thereon. And like things shall not come, neither shall it be so. He said, thou hast also taken thy fair jewelry of my gold and of my silver, which I have given thee, and made it to thyself images of men, and did commit whoredom with them. He said, thou took thy broader garments and covered them, and thou hast set mine oil and my incense before them. And then he gets on to talk about my meat also which I gave thee, fine flour and oil and honey, wherewith I fed thee, thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savor. In other words, you're taking my animals that I asked you to offer to me, and you're giving them to the idols. Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast born unto me, and these have thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredom a small matter? And I'm going to go down just a little bit, because I want to deal with the daughters of Zion, because he deals with us, very much so. Let me see where we at. Let me go down a little bit further. Because, hold on. He talks about how we wore crisping pins, and we had nose rings, and we had all of the things that we had that he gave unto us. And we mistreated him, and we misused the stuff that he gave us. And he talks about how we were, as a punishment, he caused us to be bald in the things that he put us through. So, in my opinion, and this is just mine, from what I read, we always wore the best of everything. We had the best of everything. And we did not understand how important those things were and how much he loved us and what he was doing for us. I think it's verse number 12. Let me go up here. I did read that, but the reason why I'm bringing that up is because, you know, now that we've come into this come into the knowledge that we're in captivity, it appears like we're punishing ourselves, you know, because we don't want to look like the other nations, and I understand that. I agree with you. I don't believe that we should walk around with our breasts hanging out, our cleavage hanging out. We should walk around, you know, because we're already busty women. Most of us are. A lot of us are. We, you know, we're very well endowed in terms of we have big hips and You know, we have big backsides and we have big legs, and we just built a lot different from a lot of the other nations in the most part. So I do think that we should be very, very modest in the way we dress, but I do believe that we should wear the best of everything because we had it. We forfeited it. We gave it away. You know, so, you know, the reason why I frown so on the clothing that I see the women wear today, it's like, it's almost like they go out of their way to look, I'm not going to say the word, they just go out of their way to look different. And it doesn't look royal to me. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It just doesn't. I mean, and when you see other people of other royal families and the women, the way they dress modest. But you can tell they have on good clothing. Now, everybody can't afford to wear that, but I think that, you know, we should be able to, we should look a certain way where everybody understands that, you know, our Elohim is the King of Kings. You know, and you know, I agree with you. You know, I don't, you know, being 61 years old, I'm not going to wear skirts above my knees. My skirts and dresses will be, you know, a lot lower below my knee. It's going to be maybe like in the middle of my calf. So when I sit down, my dress doesn't raise all the way up. I have still held on to some of those things that, you know, I learned when I was growing up in holiness, however, without the legalism. So I think we should wear the best of everything. I think we should wear the jewels. We should have the nose rings. We should have the earrings. We should have the bracelets. We should have all that stuff and wear them because they belong to our Elohim in the first place. He gave us it to us. I mean, does that make sense? Hold on. Area code 513, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Shalom, shalom. This is Zafian. How are you?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to chime in on this conversation. And I think my biggest argument is always going to be, you know, like you said, reading the word and understanding what it means. And the biggest thing we hear all the time is modest, 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 modest. Number one, we don't know what modesty is. The word modest is only found in one scripture, and it's in the New Testament, and Paul is the one that wrote it. And we know that in our classes that we've been discussing Paul, that Paul was sent to the Gentiles. And if you read the scripture, if you read the verse that Paul is talking about, it's going to be 1 Timothy number 2, verse number 9. He said to them, you should adorn yourself in modest apparel, shamefacedness, sobriety, braided hair basically, without gold, without pearls, and without costly array, which is just in contradiction of what you said that the Most High allowed us to look like and what we did look like.
Yep.
So a lot of what we're trying to portray was not given to us as Israelite women. And so we're trying to look like something. We're using one word, modest. We don't know what actually that is. And that word was not given to us. It was given to the Gentile women.
Right,
and
right.
So that look of long skirt covered up is an interpretation that you have, there's no example of. I think a lot of the look that we see in Israelite women is a safety look. It's don't be lustful to someone, whether it's men or other women, but it's to put down the women saying, this is the only way that you should look, and I'm going to use one scripture that wasn't pertained to you to use it. And like you said before, a lot of the looks that we do, see that are in the front, that are supposed to be representing Hebrew Israelite women, are extremely conservative. I wouldn't even say modest. They're extremely conservative. And I've said this to you before in the women's class, it looks very cheap. You can, a lot of the linen is very thin. A lot of it is sewn improperly. There's nothing about those outfits other than the style that would set us apart from someone else, because they don't look regal. The fabric looks thin. It doesn't look like women who come from the Most High should look. It looks safe. It looks conservative. It looks as if we're not trying to turn the eye of a man that's married, or, you know, we're trying to hide something that we can't. There's no outfit that's going to cover your curves or your breasts. There's no outfit, there's no material that's going to do that. And that's what they're trying to use, is to cover us up, when that wasn't really the case for us in the first place. We got in trouble because of our attitude, not because of the shape of our body. And I think we need to be mindful that when we promote how women should look, that it's in line of what the Most High gives us permission to do.
Right, right.
Versus the fear of attracting the wrong attention.
That's true. And let me add something to that. And it just came to me a few minutes ago. I think where the issue lies is that we never saw ourselves as a nation. Because when we were a nation and we had our own monarchy and we had our own kingdom, we were our own people and we had the best of everything. The only way that we've seen ourselves is in captivity. The only books and images that we've ever had was when we were in a captivity. They've taken pictures. They have pictures in a book when we were in our Egyptian captivity. They have pictures in a book when we were in our Babylonian captivity. They have pictures. And you know what? We will go get these books and say, okay, this is what the Israelites wore, but we were captives. We've never seen ourselves when we were at our splendor. So we've always been made to, this is what you put on, and this is all you get to wear. Or we've seen the men as slaves struggling and hauling stuff and pulling stuff, and the women maybe with baskets on top of their head bringing food in as slaves. When we read about the fact that he gave us all these things, we can't visualize it, because the only way we see ourselves is as slaves. And we have to get out of that whole slave mentality, because we're not. We are royalty. And I keep pushing that and pushing that and pushing that and pushing that. You don't have to look homely. You don't have to look downtrodden like you just, oh, poor old pitiful me, because I'm trying to look sanctified or I'm trying to look righteous. No, we've never seen ourselves with our kingdom and what the royals actually look like. And what the people actually had. We never have had that opportunity, because no one has put that on record. All they have on record in the books that we have is when we were in one captivity or another. And now we're waking up in this captivity trying to figure out, okay, well, what did we wear? How did we look? You know, do we continue? Because we don't want to, and we don't want to look like what some of the chicks are wearing, or the women are wearing today, when they're just overly exposed. I agree with that 100%, but we are royalty, and we are supposed to carry ourselves as such, because these are the things that we had. That's why the stuff was left on record for us to read, because this is what we had, and that's what, you know, I want the women to understand and get away from all that rags on top of your head. You know, it's just not appealing to me. You know, and it's like the homelier we look, the more everybody will accept it. And absolutely not. My grandfather was a king, and I am not going to walk around looking like that. I'm sorry. I'm not. So, I mean, you know, we have to get back to the point of who we belong to. And we're his people. So I think that I'm with both of you. I think that we have to be able to put something together where we don't look homely. And a lot of it, I think, is because, you know, and I hate to say this, but, you know, I see a lot of married Hebrew Israelite women, and it's like, you know, to the husbands, you got to step the game up some. I mean, really. You know, this is just, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's like, come on now. We don't have to look like this. You know, and some people don't want to do anything. Some people don't want to put any effort forth. And this is where I think all of this stuff comes in and all these isms and schisms, and I don't want to do this, and we ain't supposed to do that, and we ain't got this, and we supposed to look like this. No, you don't want to do what you need to do to make sure that you have what you need. Because the hustle don't stop. And if you out there taking care of your business, and don't tell me that people don't have jobs and they not making money and they not doing what they need to do, because they are. It's not illegal. But a lot of people don't want to get up and do something because they just settled into the fact that we waiting on y'all to come and we just going. No. We still have to do and survive and live. And I'm going to give you a perfect example. Joseph. When Joseph came up out of that prison, game on. He wore the best of everything. He had servants. He lived in a palace. He had all his, Esther was the same way. When the Most High elevates your mind, you got the church on the other hand that's teaching their people, come on, elevate your mind. Come on, let's see, if you think down here, you're going to be down here. You can still get a job. You can still go to college. We still have to work in this society. But are you right? There should be something different about us women. Because when they look at us, they ought to be able to say, now, I don't know who them people are, but those people are definitely somebody special. Instead of saying, I wouldn't want to be a part of none of that. That ain't looking appealing. You don't know how many people have said that to me, like, that don't look appealing at all. And then you got to keep this law, statutes, and commandments. We know that. We doing all that. We keeping it. So I agree with both of you all, Vince. That's why we have to be, that's why I said yesterday, you got to stick to that word. Because that word, and you know, I'm going to say this real quick. I see you, Brother Leonard. I want to read Isaiah chapter 3, because this is where he talks about the daughters of Zion. He said, Moreover, the Most High saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, because we got high-minded, and walk with stretched forth necks, wanting eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tingling with their feet. Therefore, the Most High will smite with the scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Most High will discover their secret parts. In that day, the Most High will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet, and their crawl, and round tires like the moon. The chains, listen at this, y'all, the bracelets, the mufflers, the bonnets, the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and the nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel, so we had a lot of clothes, and the mantle and the wimple and the crisping pins, the glasses, the fine linen, and the hood and the veil. It shall come to pass, instead of sweet smell, oh, we smell good too? You mean we wore perfumes? There shall be stink. And instead of a girdle, a rent. And instead of well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a stomacher, a girdling of sackcloth. And in burning, instead of beauty. We was beautiful women. The reason why he stripped us of it is because we was arrogant with it. And he'll shut you down every time. He'll shut you down every time. And this is why he stripped us of all the things that we had. And how did we get stripped? When we went into captivity. We went into captivity. That caused it all. We lost our kingdom. We lost our identity. We lost everything. You know? And now that we're in captivity and he's bringing us back and we know what we did, it don't mean we're not supposed to have it. We just have to have the right attitude with it. It's not me, don't mean we're supposed to walk around in sackcloth all day. And if you go to work and you work in corporate America, yes, you're supposed to have a suit on. And yes, you're supposed to look the appropriate way. Malcolm, you tell me about a lady all the time that works with her. She said she has to be an Israelite. She said because she would always wear a head wrap. She said, but that lady used to be sharp. Every suit she wore, she had a head wrap for it. And she was in the business part of her company. We got to stop walking around looking like, oh, poor old pitiful me. No. Like you said, just because other people don't want, guess what, and they'll tell you to wear that stuff, but they looking at everybody else that's got the other stuff on. Hold on. Brother Leonard, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just think that now that we're waking up as Israelites, I think that Israel as a whole, men and women, are getting ahead of themselves because of the Most High is saying that he going to do everything, just like in Malachi. He says that he's going to bring Elijah back. Elijah's going to bring the children, which is us, back to our forefathers, that he's going to resurrect in Ezekiel 37. So I think we're getting ahead of ourselves. Just like we can't keep the feast days and all that in captivity. Daniel and all them didn't keep the feast days in captivity. So I think we're getting ahead of ourselves. We're trying to fuse the church with our culture. And I think that's where the problem is.
I appreciate that. He said we doing too much. Hold on. I appreciate that. Hold on. Area code 337, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Shalom.
Shalom, sis.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Shalom, yes. I agree with what you read in Isaiah. All that was taken away from us because we were haughty. So, therefore, we did have the finest of the finest. That is the reason why we were set apart. Yes, we were built with hips and you know, behinds, and our men were naturally, you know, built. They didn't have to go to the gym like they do today. So I agree with the lady saying there's nothing we can do to cover that up. But in a way, yes, sort of. You don't have to purchase things as tight. It can be a little loose. I just think we do the best that we can do where we are today. I think that a lot of the ways of the Gentiles we have picked up, you know, they are wanting to be like us. They're the ones going to get the butt injections, the lips injections, and so forth when we naturally have that. But, of course, when you are a Hebrew Israelite woman, you're not going to want to walk around with your, you know, your boobs hanging out and, you know, things tied on your hips and your butt. You want to be modest, but you can be modest in a stylish way.
I agree. 100%. Because even though, and like the brother said, he said, we're trying to do too much too fast, we still have to live in this captivity. We still have to go to work every day. We still have to socialize with people. When you step out your house, you are an example of Yah. Whether you're going to the grocery store, whether you're going to the doctor's office, whether you're going to the park, whether you're going out to dinner with someone, whether you're going to work, you're setting an example of the daughter of Zion of Yah. And I'm just so sick and tired of us looking like we rag muffins. It's like, come on. We royalty.
Right.
You know, we're not supposed to feel like we got to look this way in order to be modest. And that's just that to me, that is the reason. When I see a man with a wife that looks like that, I look at the man. I'm like, look, brother, step it up some. Because if you want the submission that you say we're supposed to do, these are the things that we had. You know, and everybody's so dogmatic when it comes to the women. It's like, no, you got to step it up some. You know, I love the street preaching, brothers. Don't get me wrong. But you know, you still have to maintain your family. You still have to make sure that everybody has what they need. And if some of the sisters is out there working to be a helpmate, to do whatever, so you can come up and do whatever you need to do, you should be able to look a certain way.
Yes.
And it's almost like everybody deliberately wears on, they look like, Amish people. And I, don't get me wrong, I'm nothing against the Amish. I don't have no problem with it if that's how they want. They looked at this like, no, nah, ain't just going to get it. It's just not. Because we're royalty.
Yes, we are. And it tells us that, and if you read Proverbs 31, it says that, you know, when you say her clothing is silk and purple, so that lets you know we're royalty. We're not wearing, you know, cotton material things. And, you know, I just think we try to do too much sometimes as Hebrew Israelite women, because we're thinking it's the clothing and the head coverings that make us a Hebrew Israelite woman, and that's not it.
Mm-mm. I agree. I agree 100%. You know, it's just time for something, time for a change, you know, because like I said, we, as long as we still have to live here, we still have to live here. And we should be able to, we should be able to carry ourselves a certain way and look a certain way, you know, and you just get tired of all of the stuff that is being put on us, because don't nobody want to do what they need to do to make sure you have what you need.
Right, I agree. Yes, ma'am.
You ain't gonna throw no sheet at me and tell me to sew something to wear. It ain't working. I'm so sorry.
Because
you don't want to work and do what you need to do. Because before you was a Hebrew Israelite, you was out there making sure you got yours. Now all of a sudden, you just laid it down like, well, we're waiting on y'all. No, you still got to live every day. Opportunities are still out there for you to make money for your family and do what you need to do. I just feel
that.
That
is
I
so
just
true.
Really, you know, and I heard some brothers talking one time to my, well, you know, we really ain't got to do, when we get married, we really ain't even got to buy no wedding rings and all that kind of. It's like, wait a minute, hold up. Is women really going for this? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But then you turn the TV on and you see the women of the other nations. They walking around. They looking the part. They smelling the part. They taking care of themselves. They're well kept and taking care of themselves. And these are the people that you would be with if you could. You know, women, we are women. We should be able to look. We ought to be the woman is the reflection of her man. I don't care what nobody say. Look, you look at the woman. If you can see, you can tell what's going on when you look at a woman. You can tell what it is. And she got a husband. No. Now, single women, that's completely different. Single women don't even have those issues. It's like, this is what we wearing. You know, this is how we dress and this is how we carry ourselves, you know. And we have enough clothing where we can wear a nice skirt, a nice blouse, a nice sweater, a nice pair of slacks. And, yes, we do wear pants, because there is no law to say you can't wear no pants. And I told everybody, I said, anybody want to challenge me on that, send me a picture of way back when the Israelite men was wearing pants. We went through that the other week. Men's clothes are buttoned on one side, women's clothes are buttoned on the other side. Now, if you do wear a pair of slacks, they shouldn't be skin tight where they can see your panty print and all that kind of stuff. That kind
right.
of stuff shouldn't. You know, but it's just, we have to be able to create something that is comparable to us being royalty. I'm tired of watching the other nations. I'm tired of watching the Gentile royalty strut around, you know, and you know, look a certain way. When we look like we just came out the homeless shelter last week, it's like, no.
That is so true. We should remember, yeah, remember, you know, it's beautiful clothes out there that's stylish and, you know, that we can still look modest in. We do not have to look homeless.
It looks like that. And, you know, and most women, you know, most black women be sharp anyway, but that's something that we've always prided ourselves on. You know, we have always carried ourselves a certain way. We like to smell good. We like to look pretty. Most women like to look pretty. And then you come over here and it's just like dried beans and Vaseline and you know, and it's like, no, when did this happen? What's going on? So I think it's just time for a whole new look. It's time to revamp. It's time for a whole new look. You know, it's just time for a whole new look, you know. And the brothers, they was in agreement. Like, yeah, we don't have to wear no diamond ring. That's pagan. Everything's pagan when you don't want to spend no money. It's like, well, guess what? I like diamonds. I like diamonds, rubies. All that belongs to the Most High. Pearls, I would love it. You know, I guess anybody else feel free to push one if you want to. I mean, you know, it just is what it is. It's a difficult thing to deal with because, like I said, we've never seen ourselves in the splendor of our own kingdom when we had a kingdom and a monarchy. The only history that we have is when we were somebody else's slave. That's all we have, and that's what we have built ourselves upon. Is when we were somebody else's slave. Those are examples that we used when we began to start seeing what our culture was by the pictures that we've seen in the book. We've never seen pictures in the book of King Solomon's palace. We've never seen pictures in a book of what Esther looked like. We've never seen those things. So we have to settle for the pictures that they have given us as when we were in captivity. And you can buy some nice pieces of clothing, and that's what we're getting ready to do. We're getting ready to start our own clothing line. We can buy some nice pieces of clothing that are made from the same fabric, 100% linen, 100% cotton, silk, all the different types of fabrics, so that we can start looking like we belong to the Most High. You know? And then even with the hair wrap, who said we supposed to wrap our hair up every day? Where is the scripture that says that? And I want somebody, if you can find it, please find it. They said Sarah was a beautiful woman. She was beautiful in her old age. She was beautiful. And a lot of people feel like Brother Leonard feels about the High Holy Days. A lot of people feel like we shouldn't keep them in captivity. But when we read the Bible and he says, do this forever, as a statue or memorial forever throughout your generations, we do this as a memorial because he told us forever throughout your generations. He didn't say when you went into captivity, stop it. But some people feel like that, and we can't knock it. If that's how you feel, don't do them. But we do the best we can where we are. And I really do believe that the Most High honors that because at least we're trying to do what we need to do. We don't do Thanksgiving. We don't do Easter. We don't do Christmas. We don't do those things, but we do keep the feast days. So I think it's a good thing. I really do. Anybody else, feel free to push one. You know, and that's not everybody. Everybody don't feel that way. But I think it's a good thing that we're doing this. Because we have to put more emphasis on us as being beautiful men and women. We looking kind of rough, y'all, and people looking like, I ain't finna go over there. You mean I gotta get rid of my red bottom shoes? I paid too much money for them boots. I ain't gonna give up my stuff like that to do what? For what reason? No. Area code 478, your mic is open. You on the air.
Yes, ma'am. I agree with everything that you're saying. I think it needs to be just thorough retraining of both male and female because, you know, I was looking at some things and, you know, we as males need to train more. Our sons look a lot better. And we need to make every effort to stay in our homes and, you know, quit having all these single family homes. And I don't agree with women looking like vagabonds. I'm going to tell you that right now. I can tell you Sister Rachel don't walk out here looking like no vagabond. I ain't gonna have it because she's right. She does. She represents me.
Yep.
In my house, you know. But I think there was something that was lost that, you know, with some of us that we decided we're gonna be on this street corner, we're gonna spread the word and all that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you still, like you say, you gotta maintain your home. You gotta maintain a standard of living for your family. We ain't never been if you wanna look at our history, we ain't never been no poor, deadbeat, downtrodden people. We always set the standard, you know.
Oh,
and we need to go back to setting the standard. But a lot of times, and I'm gonna say this, I know this will stir up some people, but the men have a lot of issues. Yes, we do. But sisters got some issues too, and I'm not talking as much as I can say about the Hebrew Israelite women. I'm not talking about me as a person. I'm talking about us as a people. You know, we didn't let these spirits come out here and conjure and get into both of them. So now you got, like I look at, like, my son, for example. I'm gonna be totally honest with you. Now I raised him up in a way that a man should be raised, and he turned out to be a pretty good man. He actually turned out to be a really good man, better man than me. And I look at what he has to choose from, just as bad as we say what the women have to choose from. I look at what he has to choose from.
That's
man,
true.
And I'm just saying, some of these women out here now, the young women, oh my God! I mean, some of the stuff I see, man. You know, I'm talking about the first thing out your mouth here. I don't need no man to do this. Where you work at? Ain't about all that. You better start looking at character. I watched a video the other night where a brother did a video, and he interviewed women from this nation, white and black. What are you looking for in a man? Oh, man. Oh, my God. It was all about the money, the looks, superficial crap. Then he interviewed women that were overseas, over in Asia and stuff, and ask them, man, it's totally different. And I'm saying, I'm gonna say this to the women: is the women here? Because I told you one time before, Sister Yang, and I said it, and I mean it. Is the women? Women can make a change in this whole nation. Cut it off. We get right because we want it. I'm sorry to say it like that, but cut it off. Men will get right after a while. They will get right. But I'm just saying, the women from the other nation is all about loyalty. It's all about working hard. It's all about this. And I heard years ago, this was probably when I was in my 20s, where I'm trying to think of who it was that said it, said that when it comes to us as a people, we're the only race out here that procreate for looks. The other races procreate for other things that mean something, such as that man, you know, you might have a big feel good. Now, I don't, but I'm just saying, you might have a big feel good, but if you work real hard and stuff, you might have the best looking woman there is when you're going over in some of the other countries. But here in this country, it's all based on what we need, and we didn't let too much of this spirit. And I'm going to say it, sometimes I think we go a little overboard, and I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit right now, but we go a little bit overboard in this feminist thing where we get to the point where I can do everything a man can do. And I'm a staunch believer in, no, you can't do everything that a man can do. Don't try to do everything that a man do. Do what you can do. Even though I grant it, women have been placed in a position because of what some of these men have done, where they have to be the provider. I get it. But now that we're trying to reset our culture and reset our thinking, That's all, and I'm not talking about cooking, because that is not what Proverbs 31 says about cooking, clean. That's all what a woman does. That is not what all what a woman does. That is not it. There's a woman manages. A woman manages the household. Well, I know some sisters that manage the household, and I'm telling you, they do a doggone good job with it. You know what I'm saying? Me personally, man, I would rather be that man, bring home the dollars, turn them over to you, here you go, and you manage the household. Because I know me. You know what I'm saying? I see that little gadget on TV. Got to have it. Where sometimes women have a little more practical mind when it comes to some things like that, and they'll say, nope, 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 nope. I've seen some women build fortunes. Not even doing nothing but managing their husband's money, managing what they have around, and he's happy to do it. You know, we got to get back to respecting each other and loving each other the way we should. All this stuff that I see going on out there, like I said, a young lady come over to the house, she going to call herself, oh, I like your son. I had to vet her. I mean, I'm sitting there like, nope, saying to myself in my mind and my heart, nope, this ain't going to work. And I mean, he ain't here to hear me say it now because he probably get mad at me, but I'm going to say it. But as soon as I said to myself, nope, guess what happened? 2-3 months later, it was done.
Yeah,
and I said, see, what do I mean, where's this time? Because we have to get involved with our children and who they're fooling with. I hope I ain't being too long-winded. It's just one of the subjects that really, really gets me is that I think there could be better male-female relationships if we all, we need to, we as males and females, and I think you had a good thing going when you brought those sisters on the call and they said, what do you want? I think there need to be something else like that where we sit out and we honestly talk. Brothers tend to act like they, you know, some of us got our head in the sand. Yes, there is a problem. You know, let's sit out and talk about what each other wants and what each other needs so that we can start coming together and maybe we can start putting our heads together and quit being so divisive. Because I agree with you. There's some brothers that, I have seen some stuff, and I ain't going to say that being back in my days, 20 years old, 21 years old, being foolish, you know, I ain't done some things. I have. But you learn and you grow older and wiser. And fortunately, I just been one of those types that I always wanted to be married and have one wife and a house and all those things. You know, and I think that's something else that Israel loses, the men do, once we become Israelites. We lose drive and focus on being a provider and doing those things. Because if you go back into the book, which all of them say they do, all those men were providers. All those men worked for them. Those women, even the ones that you don't know nothing about, they manage. That's why the book of Proverbs 31, that's why it's there. Because those women manage what their husbands made. And they made it even better. We have to learn to work together as male and female and quit all this fussing with each other. Yeah, well, the damage been done through Satan and the slave trade and all that stuff. The damage is done. It's time to stop fussing about it. It's time to fix it. I watched this, and I want to say this, and then I'm going to shut up. I promise I'll be quiet after this. But I watched a video that this sister posted of a brother who approached her. And she had, if it were me, lucky it wasn't me, because I can have a little smart mouth. If she had told me some of the things that she told him, man, I would say, bye, police. Bye. I would have even gave her the time of day to her. The brother approached her. He said, I think you're attractive. I'm just, you know, wondering if I can get your phone number. We can get to know each other, you know, later. The first thing she said, what you doing with this little job you got? He a bartender. Little job. And then she even, yes, and then she even went as far as saying, what kind, you know, where you live and all that. And he said, I got a 2-bedroom house. Notice he said he has a 2-bedroom. He's not renting. It's just a two-bedroom house. Ain't nobody but him. You know, and she goes, where the rest of the house? I'm just listening how this young woman tear this man apart. I mean, me personally, as soon as she had looked the way she looked, I would have looked at her and said, bye, Felicia, and kept moving. You know, back in the day, I would have had some choice words for her. But we got to quit doing those kind of things to each other. But these are the kids that we as men and women are raised. And one thing I want to say to the sisters, and I mean this with all my heart, to every sister on this line, you guys have done a wonderful job in the destruction of the black male. And I ain't talking about y'all aging to destroy. I'm talking about y'all have filled that gap. Y'all have raised these kids. You have done that. Now it's time for us to come together. And one thing that all sisters need to realize, family don't mean a woman and children. A family don't mean a father and children. A family means a wife and a husband taking care of their children to raise them in the way that they need to be.
That's true.
Because them children, one thing I've learned about children is that they need both. A mother and a father, because each one of them gets a vital part from each one of those parents. They learn something from it. If you have a missing part, you're never going. It takes too long to struggle out there to become a whole. And I think a lot of us are doing that.
I definitely agree with everything that you said. I'm 100% in agreement with you. That's why we have to start building. As we build our nation, you're going to have to find your husband or your wife within the nation. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I have a daughter that is 38 years old, and she's never been married. Now, she's just become conscious that she's an Israelite, and she wants to be married, but I'm just going to be honest. I would never introduce my daughter to anybody from any of those other groups. Never. The stuff that they have heard and the things that they have said out of their mouths about women, the roles of women, the men, and I would never introduce my daughter to any one of those men. Now, she is dating and she's meeting different people, but she knows she's an Israelite. She's fully conscious. She knows who she is, but it's very difficult when you are rearing them up for them to find mates. That's why we have to begin to cultivate our people that we have within our groups to be able to find each other and marry each other, because I'm telling you, that's the only way that the regular population is going to be able to see how it's supposed to be done. That's the only way they're going to see how it's supposed to be done. And the ratchet stuff that came out of that young lady's mouth, that's what society is breeding. That's what society has created. This is what the society that we live in has created, those type of people, both men and women. What you bringing to the table? You ain't got nothing to bring to the table. That brother could have been the best husband that she could have ever had. But right. She missed out on the opportunity because she was looking at the wrong thing. I see you, area code 330, because that's what society is breeding. This is the narcissistic personality disorders that they are breeding with these young women, these young men. They think everybody's supposed to be rich, everybody's supposed to be wealthy. Well, everybody's not, but it don't mean that they're not good people.
Right.
So they looking for fantasy people. Like you said, I want to say so bad, Alice. Hey, Alice, Wonderland ain't real. Rooftop. Like, hey, Alice, Wonderland ain't real. You know, and everybody's living in a fantasy world. They living in a fantasy world. It's like you probably missed the best guy that you probably could have ever had in your life because of what came out of your mouth. Because I'm telling you what, jobs come and go. I've had good jobs, and I've made good money on my own. Millionaire status money. And it's gone. It come and go. You can be up today and down today. You can get sick and all that go out the window.
I'm here to tell you.
You know what I'm saying? People don't realize that. Like, you up today, but you might be down today. Get sick enough, and you can't work. Oh, they go out the window. You know, so we have to really be able to teach the people that come into this fold how to be, how to have good character and good morals and how to choose a good mate that loves Yah. And it's something that we have to learn how to do. We have to unlearn to learn the right way.
Yeah, it's so much now that I've learned, in my years. I'm really glad to be able to give that to my son. The stuff that I learned about what you should do and shouldn't do, because I have made mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. And I took that stuff instead of just hurting from it and learning from it, and I'm passing that on to my son so that he don't have to make those mistakes. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And this is what we need to be doing for all of our kids. You know what I'm saying? All our children. I really wish we had some kind of forum where I could sit down and talk to the young prospective couple and say that. I think that's something I'm good at. So I sit down and I listen to them, to be able to provide it. Because there's a lot of things I do see, in relationships now. Because I'm going to be real with you. I was really wanting a traditional marriage. I always worked hard. I always worked two jobs or did whatever. And I was married to a young lady like that back in the day where, I'm working two jobs and I don't think you're making enough. Man, I'm working two jobs, putting a roof on your head, you ain't doing nothing. What you mean I ain't? Those kind of things destroy a man to a point where you don't even want to be bothered. Then when you're out cheating and doing all this other stuff, it's because we do this to each other. We beat each other up. We turn each other away. We need to stop doing that.
But you know what happens? They get rid of somebody like you that's working two jobs and run into Ray Ray, and then Ray Ray treat them like trash. You know what I'm saying? And then they regret the thing that they had, and they realize that. Let me open this mic up. Area code 330, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Hey, shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Hello. Hey, how you doing, sister? I have a two-part question, and I really need an answer to both. So
okay.
the first part of the question is, I had a Jehovah's Witness as a wife. The problem with that was they believe every holiday is pagan. So, I like New Year's, I like Thanksgiving, I like Christmas, so on and so on. So I kind of pull myself back from those to let them do whatever they thought that it was. And I just felt really bad about it because I like those. I just like them. Okay. So the second part of the question is, in my teens, I met this one female, and I loved her to no end, right? But I could never have her, and I know sometimes the IM says no, but after 50 years, I still feel the same about her, and I never got her. So I don't understand what the, okay, you can't have her, but after 50 years, because, we only have so much in a lifetime. But,
true.
But anyway, I'm still at the same spot. So now I'm single, and I do not have her still. Now, every now and then I could text her and say hello and stuff like that, but it's still the same, so I don't understand why either I wasn't good enough for her or he thought she had something better. So I don't know. But the first part of the question that I gave you was, I like all those holidays. She didn't. The only thing they can celebrate is anniversary, which I didn't get that. I've never got that in my life. But I backed myself up and said, okay, we won't do this, we won't do that, but that's not what I want to do. So can you please answer those for me?
Okay, well, let me say this. As an Israelite, we don't celebrate holidays either. But if you're not something that, you know, you're not aware of, and this is something that you feel like that you still want to do, then you have to do. Hold on. I think I hear your window open. But as Israelites, we don't celebrate Christmas. We don't celebrate Thanksgiving. We don't celebrate New Year. Because as a nation, this is something that we do. We celebrate the Most High's High Holy Days. But if you're still and you are into that, you have to do that.
Okay, well, I didn't know that part of it, but, you know, I did it my whole entire life. So, I don't know.
And my mom did too. She celebrated Christmas, and she had the beautifulest Christmas tree you ever did want to see. She had it. I mean, beautiful stuff. Lights, balls, the black Santa. I mean, it was something you could put in a magazine. But we learned that it was something pagan, and that it was something as a nation weren't supposed to do. Then she stopped. You know what I'm saying? And I can tell you that it's not something that you're supposed to do, but you have to come on your own.
Well, you know, like my mom, that was her favorite holiday, Christmas.
Right.
So she always had everything. So that's how we were raised, which, you know, if you're raised that way, you know, I guess that's what you do. But I didn't see any harm in it. So I guess my question is, okay, if you're raised that way, even if everybody thinks it's wrong, but that's what you were taught, because, like, if I was in Japan, I would be worshiping Buddha instead of Jesus.
Right.
So that was just my question. I just, you know, I guess pretty much it's just like I celebrated what I was taught.
Right.
So I didn't see the harm in it, but when I got with that person, they had all kind of different ideas, and I didn't have I had a problem with it, so I just backed myself up. So we didn't
right.
do those. But,
right.
you know, I still, because of my mom, she was Catholic.
Right.
And so I had a dilemma with that. But on the second hand, the second question I asked you, if you could answer that one, I mean, I understand this one is all pagan. But if you also realize that, okay, they say you go to church on Sunday. So Sunday was the worship of the sun god.
Right.
So that's not true either. Because if you look at God and he says, after 7 days I rested, the first day was a Sunday. It wasn't
that's
the
right.
sun god. So it should be
that's
Saturday.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay, so yeah. Everybody is wrong. You know, everybody is wrong. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying everybody else is wrong because they're saying Sunday, and Sunday was the worship of the sun god, whatever
okay.
their name was.
Let me stop you real quick. Let me say this real quick. And that's why Bible class is so important. But at the Tower of Babel in the book of Genesis is when the Most High split all the nations up, and each one of them had their own language. Everybody was speaking the same language.
Yeah, different tongues.
Yeah, different tongues, all of that stuff. So when he did that, he gave each nation their own God. So as they went to worship their own God, they did those things that was relative to those gods. So when you talk about Sunday and the sun god, those are the people that worship on Sunday. They're worshiping the sun god. They're, even though they're using the Bible as a reference, they're not worshiping the God of the Bible. They're worshiping the sun god. That's why they go to the church on Sunday. And those are the gods they gave. He gave each nation their own god to worship. So that's many different people saying to the one. And I'm going to mute you. That's a lot of noise. When it comes to the woman that you were talking about, that you were in love with, that you're still in love with, you know, my issue is she in love with you? Because if this is something that's not mutual and she doesn't feel the same way that you feel, then that's not the one for you. It has nothing to do with her. That's just not the one for you. Because she has to feel, it has to be mutual. You say, well, maybe I'm not the one for her, and maybe she got something better. No, maybe the Most High has something for you. And maybe it's time for you to let those feelings go so that he can open your heart up for the one that he has settled for you. I've always been a firm believer that if you have to force it, it's not Yah. When it happens, it'll work so smooth that you won't know what hit you when it does happen. But maybe that's not the woman for you. That makes sense?
Yes, it does. It does. You know, I just always wondered that for the last 50 years. But, yeah, you're right.
Maybe once you let go of those feelings, the one he has for you will come into your life. But she can't.
Yeah.
You got feelings for somebody else.
Right.
Yep. There's only room for one woman. Just one. All right. So I thank you so much. I appreciate you pushing one. But, yeah, you know, when it comes to the holidays and all of those things, we never try to force anybody to say, oh, just stop keeping it. Don't do that. Just like pork. We're not supposed to eat pork, but people do. They still do. And you have to get to the point where you grow to understand that those are the things that we're not supposed to be eating. We're not supposed to be doing pagan holidays. We're not supposed to do those. The Most High has given us his high holy days. But, you know, when you have something that's in your heart that you feel like you want to do, you have to ask the Most High to show you where it's wrong and why he doesn't want you to do it. And then you have to decide whether you're going to be obedient or not. I mean, it's as simple as that. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, they be like, well, I just got to have my bacon. I'm not giving them my dinner, eat it. But just know what the consequences are when you eat it. I'm not going to, you know, we can't just tell them, you better not. No. You have to understand, you know, that he has set this stuff in motion, and he has these things in place for a reason. You know, we all like Christmas. I used to love getting gifts as a kid under the tree. I used to love Thanksgiving dinner. That was the one time in the year that all of us came together and sat down at my grandmother's table, and they came from all over the country to fly in to eat just that one day to fellowship. Then was when my cousins came in from out of town, and it was a real big to-do. But when I learned better, I did better. So, you know, but you have to let the Most High show you. My mom said the other day, I want to go back to church. I said, for what? Why would you want to go back to church? Well, I know what you've been teaching and stuff, but sometimes, you know, you miss the singing and the fellowship and stuff. I said, oh, okay. You know, I didn't say nothing else. Because sometimes you have to go back in there in order to understand what you're not missing. You know. Christmas to me got real expensive. It was something that got too expensive for me to do, and I phased it out. I'm like, this was even before all the Israelite stuff. It just became too expensive for me. I'm like, I'm not going to redo that. I'm not doing all that. So I just stopped a long time ago. You know. And Thanksgiving, for some people that are still keeping it, with food as high as it is now, Everybody taking a second look like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do all that, bow all that food for one day. Yeah. You know. And just all that food, because you're going to spend at least a good $200-$300 if you do it right. By the time you get the turkey and all the sides and all the stuff in the desserts and the drinks and all that stuff, you're going to spend a good $200 or more. So, you know, folks don't have it like that no more. The food is ridiculously expensive. You know, so it's making everybody think twice, you know. And it's like, well, you know, everybody used to come to my sister's house and take plates home and pack up food. She ain't talking like that no more. She's like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do all that. This is getting to be, yeah, it is. You know. So it is what it is. You just have to use, you know, these are the times that you have to really start to think about what you're doing and why you're doing it. You know, everybody likes the lights for Christmas and they like the lights for New Year's and they put the lights all on the trees and all that's real, real pretty and the lights is just glistening everywhere. You know, you just have to ask yourself, why are you doing all this? And if you still want to do it, nobody can stop you from doing it. You know, but as far as the men and the women are concerned, I think that this would be a very good platform for us to do that, Brother Yerushalayim. I think we should do that on this platform because this is where we have the men and the women together and just use this platform to be able to do that, to be able to show and understand. Hold on. Area code 276, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes. I know it's such a hard habit when we're used to things from childhood all the way to adulthood and with our own children. However, what I've learned that was, well, not really a hard lesson, but it proved to me that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That was to pray and ask the Lord to please help me not to have that desire on the day, and please bring my family around to the point where they will realize that, hey, we can have this same fellowship as we do in Thanksgiving, and we can get together at other times and enjoy ourselves just the same way. They have not gotten to that point yet, but I have reached it. And I'm the same way with funerals. If someone is having a funeral on the Sabbath, I don't go. And it doesn't bother me at all that I don't go. And as much as I have 17 great-grands, I don't miss anything for thinking about them and putting them before Yah. That's just the point where I reached, and it wasn't easy now. That's not an easy thing. It sounds easy, but it's not. But you know what? When you reach there, you have such a peace of mind that it doesn't bother you. Just trust in God. Have faith. He will help you to obey him if you ask for help sincerely.
Hallelujah. I'll praise you. Thank you so much for that, sis. Hallelujah. And that
You're
is
welcome.
True. And I did the same thing. You know, I had to tell my family, don't make anything else on Saturday because I'm not coming. Now, if you want to do it on Sunday, I'll be here. But Saturday, I won't be there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, we started having a family reunion type picnic. And one of my cousins was like, well, why don't you have it on Saturday? I said, well, because the majority of the family is Rastafarians and Hebrew Israelites, and we observe the Sabbath. I said that way when we have it on a Sunday and everybody comes out, we can light a fire and heat up the food. The people that go to church can still go to church and leave church and come home and change clothes and still come out to the park. I said it's just conducive for everybody to do it that day. And we have to start training people. And she was like, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
We don't mess with Sabbath just because you guys wash cars and wash clothes on that day. We just not going to do that.
No.
You know? And that's just it. Now, we can still get together in fellowship, and we have a ball when we come together. We have a ball. I mean, we really do, and the kids have a wonderful time, you know, but we do that on a Sunday. And we do it once a year. You know, so it just is what it is, and you have to be able to take that stand, and people will understand when it's, when you're not drilling it down their throats, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we are. It was nice. A lot of people went to
church. All things are possible.
They
we can do all things through Christ.
That's right. Absolutely. And this is how we should have had this set up a long time ago. You know, and it reminds me, and I'm going to let everybody go, it reminds me I was at a job, and these two little young girls, they was of the other nation. They used to talk to me all the time. And I told her, I said, you know, Sunday is the first day of the week. She said, no, it isn't. I said, yes, it is. She said, no, it isn't. I said, yes, it is. So my boss came down. And we was all huddled talking, and he's like, can I get in here? Is it okay? I said, well, ask Nick. I said, Nick, when is the first day of the week? He said, Sunday. She said, no, it isn't. He said, yes, it is. She said, well, how come I didn't know that? I said, now, we can't answer that part, but Sunday is the first day of the week. So if we start treating Sunday like the first day of the week, everything will work out fine. It'll work itself out. You know, and we have to understand Sunday is the first day of the week. There were 7 days that the Most High used to create everything, and he rested on the seventh day. Sunday is the first day of the week. So, I just wanted to say that I have enjoyed the class today. My little babies is over there just knocked out. I made them take a nap, and they're so quiet. All praise be to the Most High. I'm so glad. You know, it's a... It's a blessing to be a grandma. You know, I love my grandbabies and my great-grandbabies. I spend a lot of time with them. But anyway, you guys have a wonderful rest of your week, and we will see you all next week at our regularly scheduled programs. And Brother Yerushalayim, would you lead us out in prayer, please?
Yes, ma'am. I most definitely will. Give everybody that second to turn to the east.
Right.
Right. Lord, I pray this prayer through Yeshua the Christ, and I pray that this prayer is acceptable. Blessed be you, O Yahweh. Blessed be you forevermore and always. We thank you for this day, and we thank you for watching over us, keeping us safe and sound, all those that can hear us. I pray that you continue to watch over us and guide us and give us wisdom and strength and keep us on the right path so that we do the right things. I pray also that we come together as a nation, as a people, male and female. We pray today that the rest of our week goes well, and we pray for your deliverance of our people out of this nation into a place where we can better serve you. We thank you for everything and all things. Say, blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. All right, everybody. Shalom, shalom. We'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.
Shalom. Shalom.